You a copy of God's Word, which of course is to be found in the Bible and in the Bible alone. This is just an extract from the Bible entitled Luke's Gospel, but it's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. But in reading it, it is our hope, is our desire, our prayers that you would find it as we have found it to be the truth indeed, and even to find Jesus Christ to be a Savior to you personally. Word of God is given to us for our encouragement and comfort. There is much of that in the Bible. And of course, it is also given to you for a foundation for your life in this world, and of course, well, the world to come, which is of the ultimate importance. So God's Word, it's offered to you, maybe at some time since you read the Bible for yourself, maybe that was never, maybe perhaps you, like so many people today, just simply go on hearsay, what the Bible says, not because you read it, but because somebody else told you it says thus and thus. Encourage you also to obtain first-hand information, take it from God's mouth, take it from His book, from the Bible itself, and not from the lips of other people. Even we ourselves challenge you to take the things that we see and look into them, check it out with the Bible and see whether they be so, because well, your soul depends upon what you do with God's Word, whether you accept or reject it. So it's of the utmost importance that you have a right understanding of God's Word. Permit me, if I may, to share some words with you from the Bible. The Bible gives us not just a beginning. In the beginning, God created. No, you were not hatched out in some primordial sludge called evolution. You were created by God. And the Bible also, of course, tells us how it will be at the close of the age, at the end. Listen, if you will, to what Jesus Christ himself says. As it was in the days of Noah, that's the one that built the ark, you remember, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man, that's when Jesus returns. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed, that is when Jesus returns in glory. So it will be as it was in Sodom, and it will be as it was in Noah's day. People will just be going about their normal, ordinary business, getting engaged, getting married, planning marriages and giving one another in marriage. It will just seem like it was as it's always been, so it will always be. That's what we think, isn't it? One day just runs into another and it's never going to be any different. Well, that's what the people in Noah's day thought, and of course that's what the wicked evil people of Sodom and Gomorrah thought too. Of course, that is until suddenly the judgment of God was upon them. And that's how, of course, it will be when the Son of Man returns. People will be doing just the same things. And doubtless, as they did with Noah, a preacher of righteousness, and as they did with righteous Lot, they'll just be mocking and smiling at them, you know, and yeah, you know, we don't believe them until, of course, well, it's too late. Well, we're here this afternoon once again, Thursday afternoon. It's our custom to be here. We enjoy the privilege of freedom in this country. We're not like these countries, you know, like Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah in the brain. Like Saudi Arabia, you know, where they behead people for speaking the truth as it is in Jesus. You know, these countries where there is no freedom or liberty of speech whatsoever. Thankfully, for yet a short time at least anyway, we still have and enjoy that freedom. So we come to you this afternoon once again to reason with you from out of the Bible. So that when that day comes, when the Son of Man returns, that you won't be taken by surprise. In the wrong way, I mean. There are nice surprises sometimes, and there'll be nice surprises for those who believe in and trust in Jesus. But that day will be a dreadful and an awful day for those who just simply mock the message of God's judgment and don't take Him seriously with regards to what He says about these matters. So we're here to reason with you that you might escape such a fearful end. Now, in the Bible it says, or rather, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself says, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, just as others did in the times of the Bible. It was a terrible tragedy, see? You remember 9/11, when those towers fell down, and thousands of people were ushered into eternity. Well, it was a time such like that, only it was just one tower that fell, and of course, lives were lost, and the question was asked, were they more wicked sinners than others? And of course the answer is no. They were sinners like you and sinners like me, but no worse, no better. They were just simply sinners. And Jesus said, in answer to the question, He said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish, in the same way that they did. You see, God's judgment and His coming for us to take us out of this world, for some people, can be so very, very sudden. You know, some people get a warning and they don't heed the warning. But some people, it comes so suddenly, like Jesus says, like a thief in the night. If you knew the thief was coming, you would prepare yourself. But coming back to the matter of repentance, ask any sincere Bible reader that you can find anywhere on the planet and ask them the question, and you'll find, they'll tell you, if they're honest, that is, they'll tell you that this business of repentance is all over the Bible. Like that saying that you use all over you like a rash, you know? Well, repentance is all over the Bible in the same fashion. You go to the Old Testament, the New Testament, Isaiah chapter 55, except, No, that's not the one. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. You see, that's called repentance. And you have it too in the New Testament. Wherever you go in the Bible, you can't escape it. That's God's, you might say, primary message to a lost, fallen mankind. Repent and believe the gospel. And of course, well, you go to Jesus, the Savior who loves. Some people live with this delusion. Some Christians as well, I have to say, they think that, well, when you come to Jesus, it's different. You know, when you come to the New Testament, it's different. It's more loving, it's more kind, it's more compassionate, that, you know, God kind of morphs into something or someone else in the New Testament. That's not so. Just the same. Yesterday, today, and forever, I am the Lord, I change not. Always, always the same. In the Old Testament and the New Testament, just the same. And Jesus, the Savior, who so loved us that he gave himself up to the death of the cross, makes the same demands of you. Repent ye and believe the gospel. The first words, recorded words of Jesus in the Bible. So, and you can go to his men, his apostles, his disciples, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They go out into all the world just as they were instructed to do, and the message is just the same. Repent, repent, repent. Turn from your sins to God through Jesus Christ and receive remission of your sins. For Jesus, his call to you is to take up your cross, deny yourself a life of sin, that is, of lawlessness, of covenant breaking, a life, you might say, of repentance every single day as a minister of the gospel. I'm telling you to do this, but I'm telling you what I have to do myself every single day of my life. I have to repent. You see, it's a life of repentance that God calls us to. But you see, when you consider this word, this demand of God to repent of your sins, well, it expresses, it should bring to your mind, I hope it does at least anyway, how heinous and how aggravating sin is to a holy and a righteous God. You see, he is rightly and justly provoked to wrath because of our sin. And the truth of the matter is that whoever you are, whatever you come from, whatever your background might be, as a human being without Jesus Christ, I tell you, you live constantly under his holy indignation. Now, all the religion in the world won't take that away. Only God's Son, who died on the cross an atoning death, can take away the holy indignation and displeasure of God that is over us, hangs over us like the sword of Damocles, waiting to fall upon us at any given moment. That's why, you see, we need to repent and go on repenting constantly of our sin. You see, the very thought that God demands repentance of us ought to deter you from an evil path, bring you to the place of repentance, of turning from all such evil and wickedness. Repentance, you see, it denotes a person's abhorrence for sin, their hatred of it, and of course a desire, a burning desire from within to forsake everything and all that is displeasing to their Maker. You see, the nature of repentance, It's a sorrow, you see. It's more than just an outward thing. You know, you can tidy up your life, you know, you can get your act together, as people tell us to do, you know. Maybe perhaps you're given to drunkenness and, you know, you realize it's damaging your health and you don't have much money in your pocket and there's no money for furniture or shoes for the bairns, like, you know. So you decide, well, this has got to go. And so you stop it, you turn from your drunken ways. But that's not necessarily repentance. Repentance, you see, is a heart matter. It's something that takes place within, in the inner nature of a man or woman. And there's a sorrow, there's a brokenness, you see, that comes with this repentance. You know, it says in the Bible that Jesus was crushed for our iniquities. Well, in the same, it's exactly the same word that's used of a repentant sinner. It's called contrition. Being crushed, as it were, as a result of the weight of sin that you feel upon your heart, your soul. So the man, the woman, you see, the person who is repentant is a person who is sorrowful. They are crushed because they have offended not just a holy God, but a God of love. You see, we owe a great debt of love to God, but none of us could ever possibly repay. But you see, when you become conscious of this, recognize this, it's crushing, it's heartbreaking, and there's sorrow in the repentant sinner's heart. That's what repentance is like. And then there's a hatred for sin. We find ourselves in this very unusual position. We used to love our sin. We used to love wallowing in the muck and mire of sin, and it was of no consequence to us, none whatsoever, because we loved the stuff. It was the stuff of life to us. But now you see, repentance has come and a change has taken place, and we find ourselves actually hating and abhorring sin and all of our involvement in it. You see, the trouble is you love what you should hate and you hate what you should love. But when a sinner repents, you see, it's the exact opposite. The tables are turned. And we love holiness. We love righteousness. We love God. We love His law. We love everything about God and all that He presents to us. And we hate everything that is contrary to Him, His character, His holiness. And it is, you see, the nature of repentance. It's by way of forsaking sin with no thought of going back to it. Now, there are some people, you know, they need to get this, you know, they need to hear this, because, well, they think to themselves, all they have to do is just sign the card, raise their hand, you know, make some acknowledgement, yes, I'm a sinner, and I acknowledge Jesus Christ, He is a Savior, He's everything the Bible says Him to be, amen, that's it, I'm fixed up, I'm on my way to heaven. And there has been no repentance. There's been no forsaking of your dreadful, wicked, evil, unbelieving sins. There are so many people in our nation today, I declare to you, who sit in churches week after week, think themselves to be Christians, and they're nothing the like. They've been deluded, and they delude themselves. Repentance, my dear friends, is a forsaking of sin. All that you know to be sin, displeasing to God, and then some more, because it's not all revealed to you straight away, believe me. If God were to reveal the extent of your sin to you immediately in one hit, it would crush you out of this world. You would not be able to bear it. But he reveals it to us when we turn from our sin, we forsake our sin. He begins to reveal our sin to us. And that's why, you see, I call it a life of repentance. Because more and more as we go on, God reveals more and more of our sin. And requires us, of course, to repent of it and turn again and again to his Son Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of that sin, cleansing and renewal. But then the cause of repentance, well, to cut to the quick, as you say, to come straight to the point, the cause of repentance is God. You can no more repent than you can pull yourself up by your bootlaces. You repent? God asks the question, he says, can you change the spots on a leopard? And of course you say, no, it would take a miracle to do that. Well, says God, he says, can you who are accustomed to doing evil, can you do good? Of course you don't answer that question. But I'll answer it for you. No, you can't. It would take a miracle. And so does repentance take a miracle. So does faith take a miracle. These are gifts from God. And God gives them to a man or to a woman. You see, it's a very unusual thing. Very unusual in this generation of his wrath, believe me. There are not many saved in this day in which we live. If you are saved or being saved or into the beginnings of repentance, well then, I encourage you to pursue the matter with great joy, because it is a gift not given to many in these days. But it is a gift from God. You see, God is the cause of it. He's the first cause of everything that falls out in this universe, in this world. There is nothing. Not a hair falls from my head, or a sparrow falls to the ground, but by the divine will. And a person only repents by the divine will. You did not choose me, Jesus said to his disciples. I chose you. Then, of course, well, there is, you know, it comes, this gift of repentance, it comes, you see, as a result of the grace of God. And the grace of God, which has been revealed, he makes known in his word. And that grace, you see, the Bible tells me, God, it is the gift of God. He gives it to whoever he pleases to give it to. It's not of him that willeth or of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. So, you see, it's all down to God. We're all of us, every single one of us, we're all shut up to God. Unless he moves, breathes, speaks, unless he acts, unless he gives to us his wonderful, wonderful grace. And with that grace, the accompanying gifts of repentance and faith. Without this, no man, no woman will ever truly repent of their sin. But then, of course, the way that God's grace of repentance comes to a man or woman is, well, I have to say, is normally, is usually, it comes to them through the Word of God. You see, the Bible says that faith comes cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so too does the gift of repentance. It's only as men hear about sin. And I know you don't like us to talk about your sin. We know it makes you cross and angry. But you see, people, that's the road by which the gift of repentance comes to us. Because we have no knowledge of our sin, what sin is. You see, no, neither do I. Well, let me give you a clue. You could open the Bible. We'll give you one if you wish. And you could open it at God's Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. All that and more, you see, is God's will for the whole of creation. Not just for those who happen to be religious. That's just as binding on your conscience as it is on mine. Whether you call yourself religious or not, you are bound by the law of God. And you see, sin is lawlessness, transgression of the law, God's law that is. And we are all of us, every single one of us, lawbreakers. We've all broken God's commandments. And so therefore we're all sinners. But you see, people, unless the word of God comes to you, unless we declare these things to you, how will you know that you are a sinner? And if you don't realize that you are a sinner, how can you possibly repent? For it's through the proclamation, the declaration of God's word, His law, His holiness, His love in the gospel, His overtures of love, for He would have you to be saved, not to be lost. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So you see, people, repentance, the gift, the grace of repentance comes to a person through the word of God. That's why we encourage you to read the Bible for yourself. Come to church and give us the opportunity of explaining these things more to you. Because that's the road, that's the way that a man or woman normally comes to repentance and then to faith in Jesus Christ. And of course it would work, normally speaking, through the witness of the church, you know, God's servants, His ministers, and the lay members of the church, if I may call them such, you know, they go about their business and they witness to you about the things of Jesus, how they've come to repentance, and how Jesus has forgiven all their sins, how He came to them and broke their heart to tears, melted their hearts, and brought them to this place of sorrowing over their sin, forsaking it, hating it, and how that Jesus loved them in spite of the fact that they were so, so sinful. And you see, as the church, as God's people, as we witness and testify to you, well, that's the road whereby many, many people come to this place of repenting of their sin. But hearken to the words of Jesus again. Except ye repent, He says, ye shall all likewise perish. You see, it's a necessity. It's an absolute necessity. Why? Well, because we're all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. None that doeth good, says God. You see, people, we're all in the same boat. And we're here this afternoon, and at least I hope, we're not here with a holier-than-thou attitude, thinking ourselves to be somewhat better than you. Far, far from it. We're just a bunch of sinners who have found repentance and faith and salvation by those means, telling you and other bunch of sinners where you can find the same forgiveness, pardon and salvation. How you can come to this place of repenting of your sin as we have done and continue to do, that you too might be saved from the coming judgment of God. It's an absolute necessity because, you see, there is no communication with God without repentance. How can you who are unholy, unrighteous, and sinful to a man, to a woman, how can there possibly be communication between yourselves and a holy, righteous, sin-hating God? The two can just never meet. Not unless that is, somebody stands between us, you know, like a shop steward, you know, somebody with the ability to mediate and bring the two sides together, reconcile. And of course, well, that's what the gospel, that's what the good news about Jesus is all about. That's what he came for. Because you see, he's the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Not no pope, not no priest, not no vicar. Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. And you see, he came to accomplish this mediation. And it's as we repent, turn from our sins, turn to and put our trust in Jesus. Well, that's salvation, you see. Then, of course, we have communication with God, because the two sides, the sinner and a holy God, have been brought together through the mediation and through the reconciliation that Jesus makes for sinners by the death of his, by his death on the cross. By his blood, you see, the Bible tells us, he made peace. Everything in the universe is out of sync as a result of man's sin. The whole creation's warped and distorted and out of sync. But everything in all the universe, including mankind, is reconciled by blood, by the blood of one man, God's Son, Jesus Christ, his death on the cross. But then, of course, another reason why repentance is a necessity is because heaven is barred shut tight to you without it. Because in the Bible it tells me that there is nothing in heaven that defiles, nothing that is unclean, nothing that tells a lie. In other words, nothing sinful. And even were it not barred to you, were you able to get in there, you would be fairly uncomfortable, I can assure you. You would be like a fish out of water. But you can't get in anyway, because it's shut to you. Heaven's door's closed to you. Unless that is, except you repent. But except you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. And another reason why it's a necessity is because you will be lost if you live and die in the same way and fashion in which you were born. That's in sin. You live in sin and you die in sin. You will be lost eternally. Now, it's bad enough to be lost in this world. It's bad enough to be lost in the marketplace and not know where you are. But to be lost for all eternity is the most dreadful thing that could ever befall any human being. And so you see, it's because of this that we plead with you We beseech you to be reconciled to God. That's why we come to you, not just simply to air our own lungs, but to plead with you, to implore you, to beseech you that you might repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He that believeth, he that is baptized and believeth shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned, is the testimony of the Bible and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal lostness. You see, unbelief, people, is not a weakness. It's just a refusal. It's just a rejection of all the evidence that God lays before you. All his pleadings, all his warnings and promises that he's given to us in the Bible, it's just a plain, simple rejection of God and of all that he has revealed to you and for you. So we encourage you again to take a copy of God's Word, Mark's Gospel, Luke's Gospel, whatever you please. If you want a whole Bible, we'll get one for you. But take it home, read for yourself, see that these things are so. Here in this book, behold the crucified, the Christ crucified for sinners. Here see his hands and his feet, his side pierced, and of course his head crowned with thorns. The king whose throne is a cross, and who bids you to come unto him. Here in this book you will see, you will find a fountain opened by God for sin and uncleanness, for men and women who will repent of their sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Here you can read of his sufferings that he endured, his death for all such as will indeed repent. But do please take seriously the words of Jesus, except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Remember, will you God's command with the promise? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the command, and the promise is, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. You would like to have a copy of God's Word to take home with you. It is offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you, yours to take and do with as you will. May God bless you and have mercy upon your precious soul.